start with some sad news, really. For those of you who know, there's a great Christian man called George Verver, and he's spoken here, and he's died. He's gone to heaven. He's gone to be with his Lord. But George Verver spent his life supporting Operation Mobilization. And because of him, the gospel has gone out all over the world. And so it's a sad time. And we had a great time when he came to our church and spoke to us. And he is a man who is an example of a life led generously. He gave his time, he gave his whole life to Jesus and to the gospel. And now he's getting his reward. He's with Jesus in heaven. So our title today is Live Generously. And we are able to live generously because our hearts are Christian. And we're filled with Jesus. And it overflows. And that's where our generosity comes from. It comes from God. It comes from God. And if there's anything that you remember from my little talk this morning, I want you to remember this. And it's my next slide. Our God is a generous God. Now, I'd like you to all say it. Our God is a generous God. Yes, great. Oh, you're in good voice. And I've been racking my mind, trying to think of a way in which we could understand just how generous our God is. And I've thought of his provision for us, and I've thought about fruit. And in hot Cantonese, it's soya gua, is it not? Soya gua? Fruit. Oh, soya gua. I knew that was a mistake. Right. But now, the thing is that God has been really generous to us in fruit. He hasn't just given us an apple and an orange. He's given us all sorts of fruit. And if we just think about those types, all the fruit that he's given us, we just get a picture of how generous he is. How generous he is. So we're going to have a competition. And I need some judges. So can I have some young people to come up and be a judge? Anybody? Because they're very important. Come up if you... But for the rest of us, I want you to think of a fruit. Think of a fruit that starts with your initials. So for me, it would be T, tomato, and M, melon. So think of those, because the competition is between this side and this side. And come on up here, come up the judges. Now, you're going to shout out the fruit that you've thought of, and whoever shouts the clearest and the loudest is going to come up on the stage so you can see what's going on. That's it. Oh, we've got lots of lovely judges. That's it. Now, can you see? Now, the thing is that what we're going to do is, have you thought of your fruit that you're going to shout out? Have you thought of the fruit? Have you? You can be in any language, Spanish, Portuguese, Cantonese, Japanese. Even English. So, but we want to hear. Now, if we all shout together, it's just going to be chaos. We don't want chaos, do we? So what's going to happen is Sophia is going to walk down the aisle. It's only going to take a minute, the whole competition. But when Sophia walks past the end of your row, you shout out the fruit that you've thought of. Okay? And so we should go right down the hall doing that. So are you ready for this? Now, you judges, you've got to decide whether this side shouts loudest and clearest, or this side shouts loudest or clearest. And then we'll have a vote at the end. Okay? So Sophia, just walk slowly forward. I'm going to have to adjust my hearing aids, though, in the end. Come back and people shout again. Now, judges, which side shouted loudest and clearest? This side? Put your hands up if you think it's this side. Or is it this side? Put your hands up if this side. Oh, clear winners. Right, thank you very much for being such good judges. Thank you. You can go back to your seats. Now, the thing is, there was an awful lot of fruit there because our God is a generous God and he's given us all sorts of wonderful fruit to eat. Unfortunately, I couldn't hear any of that, but the point is that God is generous. Now, he's so generous that all the fruit that I've known in my life, I discovered a new fruit last summer. And this is a life group story. This is why you should join the life group. Because the new fruit that I discovered was Laolin. Durian. Now, our life group was meeting at Wing and Joe's house. And Joe brought us a durian to eat. And I can't remember what it tasted like, but I can certainly remember what it smelt like. It's absolutely amazing smelling. I recommend that you have durian. So even now, there's new fruits that you've never heard of that God has provided for us. He's a generous, generous God. Now, how can you live a life, live life generously? Well, I've got a checklist here of things that we can do. Let's have a look at this. First of all, can we have this one up, Paul? We can be generous with our time and our service. We can be generous with our love and our kindness. We can be generous with our hospitality and our fellowship. And of course, we can be generous with our money and our possessions. And so that's how we can live generously because we're following Jesus. Now, I've got an example of a person from this church who definitely lived her life generously. And here she is. Her name is Gladys Riley. Now, Gladys was spent her whole life as a member of this church. And this picture that you can see behind was when we had our 80th birthday party here, and the hall was full, just like it is now. And over here, that photograph was taken just here, and that's Gladys cutting. We had an enormous birthday cake for her, and she's cutting it open. Now, I'll tell you about Gladys, because she ticks all those boxes, those things that we thought about being generous. And she didn't come from a Christian home. She was sent here by her parents to the Sunday school. And she got saved. But she stayed here and she became a Sunday school teacher and then a covenant leader. And she was generous with her time. But not only that, she was generous because she was our secretary of our missionary society committee. And she did that for years and years. And We haven't been able to celebrate life because she died and went to heaven during the lockdown. And so we couldn't have a celebration for her. But we can celebrate her life this morning. And that's what she did. Now, so she was generous with her time in the Sunday school. She was generous with her love. She loved children. She loved children. And she was a school nurse. She was a nurse. And she became the school nurse, and she went around the schools in Reading looking after the children. She ticks the love. And hospitality, well, she lived up in Tilehurst, and you were always welcome when you went there. And our life group met in her house for years, and she was such a lovely, hospitable woman. And her money, she was generous with her money too. And she left a legacy to this church. And she said that this money must be used in the gospel, and it must be used to help missionaries, because she was our missionary secretary. And so that's what she's done. Now, I'll tell you something else. There's a school in Zambia called the Amano Christian School, and it's a lovely school. And in fact, we've got big connections with it, because one of our missionary families, the Cracknells, and you can read all about them on the board at the back, they work at this school. And Hazel here is a UK trustee of the Amano School. And we sent some of Gladys's money to the school, and they updated all their medical facilities for the children. And they put a plaque, and there's a plaque in the middle of Africa in this school, and it reads like this: "This nurse's office was refurbished by a legacy from Miss Gladys Riley of Argyll Community Church, Reading, UK. She was a school nurse and for many years a keen supporter of Christian mission work in Zambia." She went to Zambia and beyond. So there's a life that was lived generously, with her time, with her money, with her love, with her hospitality. So we can do that too. In fact, people have been generous from the start. And this next slide shows you that Jamie's been telling us about the very earliest Christians and what they were devoted to. And can we see this one? Yes. They were devoted to all sorts of things, but they were devoted to generosity. And there's a verse which Nicholas read to us, and it says this: "They sold property and possessions and to give to anyone who had need." Well, this verse tells us that they were generous from the start. Church people have been generous from the start. And the other thing is that there's a connection between giving, the generosity, and needs. We're not just generous for generous sake. We're generous because we can use our generosity to help people. And so that's it. But it's a very challenging verse, that, because they sold their property. How can we live generously? Well, Nicola also read some very helpful verses from 2 Corinthians 9. And verse 12 reads like this: "This service that you perform," that's this generosity, "this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." What a wonderful verse that is. So here it's telling us that these things come from the heart, and these things are overflowing, and our generosity is an overflowing of our thanksgiving to God. And that's wonderful. And it also makes the connection with the needs of God's people, the Lord's people. And, you know, I'd just like to remind you of some of our needs here in our church, here in Argyll. And this next slide lists a few of them. Of course, we love this building. It's wonderful, isn't it, that God's given us such a lovely building to worship in. But next week, we'll be celebrating 10 years since the whole building was refurbished and made to look like this. And that's really a wonderful thing. But it needs keeping up. These lights are starting to break down. They're old and they need replacing. And it's going to cost a lot of money to replace those lights. But we need to do that because we can't get the parts for them, and they need new lights. So there's an example of a need that we can be generous about. And then there's the running costs. Oh, dear, oh, dear. There's the gas and electric and water and all these things that we use here for the heating and for the lighting and all these things. And we know the cost of living is going up. And so there's a need there and something we can be generous about. What about the greatest blessing that I think we've got is our two full-time workers. They're absolutely wonderful and God's provision for us. And we've got Jamie and Lizzie, and they're wonderful, and they just are enrich our lives so much. But of course, we've got to look after them, and we've got to pay their salaries and keep that going. And then another delight is the children. What a sight to see these lovely children here being here. When we want the best for our children, and we want to invest in their education, in their Christian education. And God sent Lizzie to do this, help with this. But we need resources to do that. We want to give them books and crayons and all the things that they need. Another need of our church. And then there's our missionaries. You know, we've got missionaries in South America, in India, in Japan, in Africa, all have gone out from here, and we try to help them as much as we can, and we support them too. And that's another need of our church. So can you see there's a connection between the generosity and the need? And I just thought I'd bring these things to you for your consideration. There's another verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 9, and it's helpful as well. Let's have a look at this one. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Nicola read that to us, didn't she? And here we've got it. Generosity comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. And we're not to give because we have to, or grudgingly, or anything like that. We can give with joy because of Jesus in our hearts. And so that's a wonderful thing. And it's a thing to be thankful for. And I would just like to thank all of you for your generosity, because you are a generous church. And I'd like to thank you for time. For the time that our volunteers give to the church, time in all sorts of things. The cleaning rota, people quietly clean this church every week and nobody sees them do it. But whoa, when we come on a Sunday morning, the place is pristine and it's lovely and clean. The people, our musicians, what a blessing it is to have different musicians up each week, and how we enjoy singing. We're applauding them this morning. We've got people, our teachers in L zone and in T zone, and we thank God for them because they're doing such a lovely job. People in Honeypot, people volunteer their time. They're generous with their time, and that's a wonderful thing to thank God for. And not only that, I want to thank you for your generosity in your giving. I want to thank everyone for your regular giving. I thank you for all those who have increased their giving recently because of the way things are getting more and more expensive. That's a wonderful thing to do. I want to thank all the people who started giving, who've come here and now are starting to give to the work here at Argyle. It's a great thing to be thankful for. And I'd like to thank the Lord for Pamela here. She's our church treasurer. And if you want to know how to give or increase, can you give us a wave to see who's... This is Pamela. And she, if you want to know how to give, then we can give all sorts of ways on our website, bankers transfers, bankers orders, all sorts of things. You can even get, if you're paying a UK taxpayer, you can get gift aid and enhance your gift. And just have a word with Pamela. She'll be absolutely discreet. She doesn't tell anybody about anybody's giving. but we can trust her completely, and she does a great job for us. So if you're thinking about starting giving or increasing in giving, then have a word with Pamela. So that's it. Now, what did I ask at the beginning? What are we to remember? Our God is a generous God. Our God is a generous God. And there's this wonderful verse that Nicola finished our reading with, and it says this: thank God for his indescribable gift. Now, how can I describe an indescribable gift? You can't do it, can you? I haven't got the words to do it, but I can tell you who that gift is. That gift is Jesus. It's Jesus. God's indescribable gift to us is Jesus. And Jesus' life was absolutely lived generously. There's so many examples in his life, but two that come pop into my mind. The first miracle that he did was at the wedding at Canaan, and he converted the water into wine, and it was the most delicious, the best quality wine possible. But it was gallons of it. These pots of water were huge, and there was such an abundance of wine, far more than they needed for the wedding that they were attending. So it just shows you how generous Jesus is. When he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, everybody was satisfied. They had enough to eat. The women, the children, the men, all had. And there was baskets full of food left over afterwards. Jesus is the most generous life that we can know. And his death, in his death he was generous, because he went to the cross and he paid a terrible, terrible price for you and for me, for our sins. So Jesus is the gift, and he has led a wonderful life, and his death is so important to all of us. But this gift is wrapped. It's a wrapped gift. And it's wrapped in mercy. It's wrapped in mercy. Now, mercy gives us what we do. Mercy saves us from what we deserve. Mercy saves us from what we actually deserve. And what we deserve is punishment for our sins. What we deserve is that we be excluded from God's presence because of our sinful ways, our wrongdoing, our disobedience to God, all these things. But God's mercy that wraps this wonderful gift that he's given, that saves us from what we deserve. But the whole of the gift is surrounded by God's wonderful grace. God's grace. And now God's grace gives us what we don't deserve. God's grace gives us what we don't deserve. It gives us forgiveness. Our sins are taken away. They're no longer a barrier between us and God. And it gives us adoption. We're adopted into God's family. And we've got Jesus, we've got the Father as our Heavenly Father, and we're his children. It's wonderful what God's grace has given us. It's given us eternal life, not separation from God, but community with God, eternity with God, a home in heaven. The Bible tells us that Jesus is preparing a home in heaven for us. So grace is the most wonderful and generous thing. So the indescribable gift is Jesus, Jesus himself. And finally, we've got to be realistic. Our generosity, however generous we are, can't match God's generosity. It can't do that. And the reason is that God gave his son. That's the most generous thing he could possibly do. And he did it because he loves us, and he wanted us to save us. And he wanted to save us. And so that's why we should live our lives generously. generously. But I've got something to say. Live generously. The first thing is to be alive. Be alive. That's what you need. Before you can be generous, you need to be alive. And each one of us in this room has got a decision to make. And it's a decision about this gift. We can either accept the gift or we can reject the gift. But one thing we can't do is ignore the gift and walk out of here without making this decision. Now, if you reject the gift and say no to Jesus, then you're facing a lost eternity and separation from God. But if you accept the gift, if you accept Jesus into your life, then you come into all the good that God has got for us, all the plans that to prosper us that he's got. And we've got that home in heaven waiting for us, eternal life in Jesus. So you can either reject the gift this morning or you can accept the gift this morning. Please, please, please accept Jesus into your life.